Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brown, ambition. Hey, Mandra, welcome back.
You're doing your own background vocals. I could have stepped in there. Put me in, coach.
First of all, what is this lush greenery in the background? Is that new?
That is, yes, it's from the Amazon rainforest. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazon.com. Get it?
Are they real?
No, girl, they're not real.
Mine either, girl. You see my lush green? It stays the same.
Yes. Well, I'm in the Zen Den, which only has like teeny tiny windows, but I do have a budding plant addiction.
Okay.
I mean, I could quit anytime I want, but I did go to town.
Is that what you're telling yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I have four capital P plants now, like trees with soil, and I have to fertilize them and stuff. And then I have a caterpillar. Have I told you about my caterpillar?
You said last time you shared, you told us.
Well, he's
so these are plants inside. These are not plants outside.
No, they're outside plants. Well, they're outside until the temperature. I've been watching until the temperature is below 50 degrees, and then they will be indoor plants. And I guess husband is going to have to sleep somewhere else because I don't know if we're going to have space for everybody. But it's very therapeutic to me. I'm really loving, you know, having some plants to talk to. And it's very, like, I washed one of the leaves because it was dusty from where I got it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I washed the leaves off, it started to thrive. And I was just like, look at me, you know, Mama Asaka over here.
They don't have names.
Okay. I did name the caterpillar Carl, which is
like the very hungry caterpillar from Carl. Is that where you got it from?
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about that. But you're right, Carl, that guy's name is Carl.
Yeah. That's like, you know, those are like the most famous preschool / kindergarten like books like ever.
Yes. My son, that's one of our favorites. No, it just came to me, but it's going to be embarrassing I'm not going to really know the sex until it emerges as a butterfly. And then I'm going to look at the pattern, Tiffany, and then I'm going to be able to tell you if it's a boy or a girl. Okay.
It's been fun. Well, not to veer left, but I was on the Twitters and someone tagged me in this post and I kind of had some mixed feelings and I was like, oh, this would be good for us to talk about on the brown of the ambition. Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Okay. So apparently, I'm not going to say her name because I don't want anybody, you know, just in case they find it to be negative. So I don't know if you're familiar with Ryan Serhant of, he's like Million Dollar Listing, Bravo. You know, Bravo has like a series of like, by these fancy house shows. So he's one of he's the guy who looks very young in the face, but he's got gray hair.
Okay.
Yeah. So his name is Ryan.
I'm gonna nod, but I don't watch it, but okay, I'm following.
Okay. Someone Googles,
very rich
right?
guy.
Yes, very, very rich. Like, so anyway, so apparently I know that he has like an online school and some other online offerings, as well as the fact that he has a very, very successful real estate, business. He's a broker, does very, very well. I'm talking about B's, not M's. Okay. Mm-hmm. So apparently they must have reached out to this young woman. And we'll call her Macy. I don't know. Right? So they reached out to Macy to do a speaking engagement, whatever. And I guess they decided they wasn't trying to pay Macy. So this is what Macy wrote. So apparently whoever this woman who works for Ryan, her name is Sydney. So this is Macy's email. And I just would love your initial feedback. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for reaching out to me. I didn't realize that you were hoping to leverage my expertise without paying me for it. While I'm happy to provide free workshops for social good organizations, I do not work for free for for-profit enterprises. Your CEO, Ryan Serhant, boldly claims that his real estate firm sold over $1.5 billion in real estate last year. Additionally, your company sells courses, memberships, and consulting services for thousands of dollars. The idea that your company cannot afford to compensate your outside speakers for your virtual workshop series is laughable. And worse, you're asking a woman of color to add value to your company for free. It's unethical, exploitative, and perpetuates economic disparities. I spent over a decade developing my expertise and my method. My rates for the from scratch custom workshop you suggested is $2,000 with a perpetual license fee of $750. If you would like to use my expertise to make money from your audience, you are welcome to pay me for it. Macy. What is your knee-jerk reaction?
Oh, snaps. If I could stand up without getting my mic unmuted, like messing up my mic, I would. I love this. And I love that she posted it because, and especially now that I'm writing for different outlets, people really want scripts like this. They want to see how did you handle it? What did you exactly say to someone when they offered you a certain amount or you wanted to negotiate or whatnot? And I think this was a really classy way for her to... I mean, she did the most, like, you know, it could have been just, no, thank you. That's not my rate. But I think, yeah, I think when you're someone who you can afford to say no to these opportunities and you can also educate the person who's making that offer at the same time, then that's that just makes it easier for the women of color coming behind you because hopefully they won't, you know, do that again.
So when I look in the comments, it's like it's a lot of obviously most of the women are like, yes, yes. There's definitely somebody who told her that they thought she was very immature. But I will say this, that Sydney from Ryan Serhant's camp replied back positively. She said she forwarded her feedback to the planning team and hoped it would help her secure a speaker's budget. You know, so basically it was to her credit, Macy was like, I don't believe that Sydney, you know, this was her choice. This is her job to reach out to people. And Sydney probably was like, I've been trying to tell them we need to get money for people. So now maybe hopefully this email will let them know you tried it. Mm-hmm. Someone also asked her, did she think that Ryan was like trying to take advantage of her? She said, I highly doubt that he even knows because, you know, this is what you have a team for. And so she was like, no, I didn't think so. She did a really good job. I mean, do you think we should share her name?
I think you should. She posted it and it's like got 40,000. I mean, she put her name out there. So yeah, and stop calling her Macy.
Right? So sorry, Phoebe. I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't want you to get no hate. So Phoebe, her name is Phoebe the Career Witch, which is funny.
I didn't see her name. I just saw Phoebe.
So she's a journalist turned career coach, demolishing American corporate brainwashing one tweet at a time. I'm currently following Phoebe. Hey, girl. Phoebe, her at on Twitter is Better W Phoebe, like with Phoebe. So Better W Phoebe, Phoebe. So go ahead and follow. Take a look. And so I would say, obviously, the large majority of the comments from women are like, this is great. And so, yeah. So someone asked, like, you know, can you give us a context of what Sydney has sent you? And she said, Sydney sent her something to the effect that said, our featured experts collaborate with us on a volunteer basis at this time. I'm like, we do not host. I know. I'm just like, what? Volunteer basis?
It's really funny to me, or not funny, but sad to me when corporations ask women if they even read anything that we've ever written or what our voice is like and what our message is to our audiences, like to even think that you weren't going to get that kind of feedback or that you could ask for a woman to work for free when her platform is, you know, completely abolishing like toxic corporate mentality and helping coach women to earn more in their careers. Like, why? Like, of course Phoebe was going to say no. And I've experienced that too in my freelance writing. I have a minimum rate per article and I am writing these articles about how, you know, I negotiated my way to X percent more in salary or I built my wealth or I quit jobs and things like that. Hell yeah, I'm going to ask for a minimum. And, you know, I don't really care if you pay so-and-so $250 for an article. Like, that's not my minimum rate. Mm-hmm. And, I think for me, it's like, it's the Sydneys who I think don't deserve
Yeah.
Necessarily. They're the messenger. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They don't deserve the, they don't deserve to be talked to rudely or be snipped at. But I do think if you can, but they are the messenger, right? So if
you got to send that message on back.
You have to send the message back, but acknowledge that it's not necessarily their decision.
Yes.
And everybody has a boss. They can ask for, you know, clearance for additional fees. And I know that. And I think you have to sort of stand in that. That's why negotiating can be a little bit uncomfortable, but you mm-hmm. have to be patient and know if they are doing their job right, they're going to go to their higher up. They're going to get it approved. And mm-hmm. you just got to wait.
I will say this. Someone is in the comments and said, to all the Sydneys out there, start telling your higher-ups that you refuse to request free labor from people, especially women of color, you know? And so, like, that's something that you can certainly be like, I don't feel comfortable with doing this. One thing I did love, honestly, more than anything, was how many women in the comments said, hey, girl, you know, I think that this is awesome, but you're actually, that $2,500 that you're quoting, too low. So people are giving her feedback about, like, you know, you should be asking for even more money, you know, you should be asking to do a whole workshop, you should be asking for $10,000 and negotiate there. And so I just love that she's even getting, and she's really receptive. I have to say that Phoebe has been really awesome in the comments, receptive to the critique and criticism, which has been very little, but also really receptive to people who are like, hey, you know, here's how you could, you know, ask for, you know, even more, because I think that you still are lowballing yourself. So I just, you know, this is, I'm not going to lie. The person in me that doesn't like conflict was like, oh my gosh, the sassiness. But, you know, but I was like, I'm the type behind this curtain who's like, go girl, go, as I hide behind the curtain. So there certainly was like
sassy. Although I do think, people, it's very easy to discount confidence and strength of voice in women, especially Black women. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't commend Sydney for just being a decent human, because it's like, that's the least she could do was respond thoughtfully. But I do see, like, and I have been on the other side of that, where it's like, you're asking you?
Yes.
You think you're worth that?
Yes.
You know, and it really, I'm like, mm-hmm. And I think some people just don't have they don't think women are worth that.
Mm-hmm. And especially women of color.
Especially women of color. And there's a sense of like, who do you think you are?
Yeah. I've actually gotten that. There was a big bank and they asked me to, like, I think write an article or whatever, but it was like literally peanuts. And I said, no, but here's my rates. And he literally wrote back, we have bigger people that are making like what we just offered you. I couldn't believe it. I was mm-hmm. like, it's the equivalent of you walking down the street and the guy's trying to holler. And you're like, oh, no, I have a boyfriend. He's like, you ugly anyway. I'm like, oh, sir, I wasn't ugly when you was trying to holler at me, sir. Don't be mad. And so I remember being like taken back, because it wasn't some just popped up bank. It was one of like the big banks. I was like, wow. So you're mad because I said, hey, that's not my rate. I wasn't rude. I just said, thank you so much for the offer. Here's my rates. It's, you know, that's below my rates. If this is, you know, if you can meet me closer, then, you know, we can talk or whatever. I forget what I said, but it wasn't rude.
Yeah. These people have never written themselves or done mm-hmm. workshops themselves. That shit takes time.
Time.
It took me an hour to put together fact-checking documents and an outline for an article, because that's like, for an article, that's an hour. And I charge $200 an hour for typical work. Like, that's, you know, half of the fee that I was getting for the article in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think that people in those positions, you need to understand, you need to like, really be empathetic and ask, you know, how much time does this take you, or get a good sense of how much time it takes someone to do what you're asking them to do. Because even though the end result might be only a 800 word article, or in Phoebe's case, only a 30 minute webinar, it takes time and mental capacity, and you have to give up other work to do it.
Exactly. And not just that, but people love to tell me only. I'm like, well, then you do it, since it's only. It's so easy. Because here's the thing, too. When, if you approach people, you're not just paying for like the 30 minutes up front for that webinar. You're paying for her expertise. Because like, when people hit me up and they're mad that I no longer charge $1,000, I'm like, wait, that was Tiffany 10 years ago. Yeah. You don't, I'm not like, the amount of experience, time, professionalism, all that I've gathered over the last 10 years is why I can now go from $1,000 for one speaking engagement to $50,000. Yes, that's what I asked for. You can take it or leave it. Because here's the thing, like, I'm more than okay to leave it. I'm more than okay to say, well, You know, if it's not a fit, that's fine. But guess what? Your price gonna go up, sis. I've had people who, like, I remember last year when I was $35,000 for a keynote, and people were like, oh, a gasp. As soon as I hit the New York Times bestsellers list, I was like, price went up. Sis ain't the same sis from last year. Okay. Yeah. So now I'm at 50. And then people have come back and said, okay, fine. We'll do the 35. I'm like, bruh. You should have locked me in. Yeah. We're not 35 anymore. And I literally tell them, I'm not 35 anymore. I'm now a New York Times bestseller. And these other things have happened. So I'm an NAACP award winner. I mean, well, nominee.
Hey.
Yeah. So those are the reasons. And it's okay. And this is what you'll find for those of you, whether it's career or business. When you raise your prices, there's a period of time where you haven't found the new customer or client yet. You know, So you get a little bit nervous because you're like, oh my gosh, people are not, you know, I'm not getting, you know, my rate, or I'm not getting offered my rate. Well, it's because you have shifted to a different sphere of people or customer that you have to find. And so once you do, now I'm at a sphere now where, like, I just locked in two $50,000 speaking engagements, but it took about 6 months for me to get my first one, because I had to find that new customer. They had to find me. And so, like, mm-hmm. the people who could afford me 5 years ago, you know, I don't do business with them, at least not in this traditional sense. And you know, the new people who can afford me now, it took them a little while to find me. So don't be afraid that just because right away someone is not paying your new rate or you know, jumping to this new salary of yours. It's like, no, sometimes it just takes you a minute to find each other.
I mean, I would say if it's been, you know, longer than 6 months, probably. You know, mm-hmm.
you might want to rethink it.
You're asking too much.
You might want to, and that's very valid. You might want to rethink it.
Might want to rethink it. And two, I love that people are giving Phoebe that feedback on her race. Yes. The only way we can find out what, sometimes, like, I can come up with what I think is my rate, but there are people out there who may be earning less or earning more. And the only way we're going to find out is if we talk about it.
Yep.
And companies are a little fearful of that, as, I mean, probably because they like, you know, getting their discounts where they can get them. But I really, I'm excited for Phoebe. And I hope, especially, you know, people that I'm talking to every day who are trying to launch consultancy businesses or, you know, contract work. And it's one of the first questions is, like, how do I figure out what to charge? Mm-hmm. And a part of it is just asking people who are in the same space, asking the blunt question, what do you charge? What are your mm-hmm. rates?
I'll go to your website in a minute, and I'm like, who is someone who's in a similar space? And then I look, and then after a while, you just have to go rogue. Like, literally, like, I'm not looking. Like I, for example, I asked my friend Lovey, okay, so, you know, we're in similar, although she's in a totally different space. I'm like, we're at similar spaces and levels. And I'm like, you know, what are you charging? And so that's how I kind of got a gauge. And then I just go for it. You mm-hmm. ask, you know, if I think I'm worth more, I might, you know, every year I slap at least $10,000 onto my keynote, at least every year. Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm someone who, depending on the agency or whatever, you know, they might be like, oh, I don't have 50, but we have 45. I'm like, I could do 45. I could do that.
Do 49, 99, 99.
Right. And so,
yeah, there's that's literally what negotiation is all yep. about. Mm-hmm. Meet me somewhere higher than yes. what you were going to do.
Yes.
The more I talk about.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, here's the thing that, you know, I hear a lot of business coaches will tell you, you know, your price is your price. And I think that it's really up to you. Like, for me, you know, shaving, you know, $5,000 off, you know, to me, because I always have in my head, like, the lowest is I'll go here. And it's not, as long as it's not below what my lowest is, I'm okay. To Shay, I'm not going to tell you I'm my lowest, because you're not going to be like, I'm in your inbox. I was going to offer 50, but heard about you. I'm right. No, offer me my 50.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say, Vandy?
Oh, geez, I forgot now. But I do feel like there is that magical moment when you. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I just remembered. Every time I tell people, and I get this from editors, especially as I'm working on kind of sharing my strategies for negotiating. I think 10 years into my career, when I managed to go from 35K to 350K annually in my earnings, I think I have some expertise in the art of negotiating. And so much of it is flinging yourself off the cliff and asking for more and asking for this. I mean,
But what I'm getting back from some feedback, well, one, from like really shitty commenters, but I don't really pay them no mind. But editors are really afraid of sharing, like, well, that may not happen for everybody. Or like, you know, can we really say that? I'm like, but it happened to me. It happened to me. Like, these are real. I got the facts to back it up. You know, you go in and they offer you one thing and you, you know, ask for more and you compound that over multiple, you know, opportunities over a decade. And, you know, I've seen and I'm proof of what can happen when you ask for more just because you can and because you're not going to die if you do it, you know.
Yes.
And I think that it's sometimes we are uncomfortable. We are uncomfortable even entertaining that that's possible because it would mean, oh, dang, I have to put myself in an uncomfortable situation. I may have to start negotiating. And I really don't want to believe that I have to do that because that's very scary. And that is not my problem. You know, it's expectations of other people that are like lower than what I put on myself. But it's been interesting to me that I've gotten that people are uncomfortable almost hearing the success stories that I have to share. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in my delivery. I don't know. Maybe
no,
I should
honestly, sometimes
put an
emoji
just feel at the
like,
end of it.
Well, someone told me today, like literally one of my friends, she hit me on LinkedIn. It was like, Tiffany, stop calling yourself a baby millionaire. I was like, she called me out. She said, no, honestly, stop calling yourself a baby millionaire. She's like, babies don't make millions. Well, there's some babies, but you know, the average baby's not making the millions.
She said, couple TikTok
babies don't make millions. She said, what you've done is beyond what babies can do. She was like, I know it's uncomfortable. She said, you're a straight up millionaire. You work too hard to get where you are. No baby can do that. And that's like, I know. I told her, I'm like, I know it just feels uncomfortable. But she said, no, but you don't understand, Tiffany. Your ownership gives the rest of us hope, the hope and the possibility of obtaining it too. And so she's right. I'm going to retire that phrase. I only say it because I felt uncomfortable with saying I'm a straight up millionaire because it sounds so strange to say. But
what's a baby millionaire? Right. Like you're new to it?
Yeah.
Or it's like, only 1 million versus a million million? I don't know.
Yes. We're like, so to me, a baby millionaire is like between 1 million to maybe 5 million, right? So I lean her real closer.
That's
to
your dad's voice in your head, baby. Like, stop it. You have such outsized expectations for yourself, Tiffany.
I know. It's crazy because
when do you get to relax and just be happy with
you? I know.
Well, I know you're happy, but like relax.
But I know what you mean.
Like, yeah.
Because it's such a foreign, it's like, who is she? You know? It's such a foreign thing to lean into. I mean, I know preschool teacher Tiffany. I know hardworking Tiffany. You know, I even know business owner Tiffany, but CEO Tiffany is hard to get to know. Millionaire Tiffany. It sounds so strange because it just sounds like someone who could not possibly be me. You know, like if I'm just talking about like to be all the way candid, if you know, because sometimes you could be a millionaire in assets and I'm not talking about non-cash assets. So meaning like you add up your homes, you add up your businesses. So yes, if I do those things, like it's, you know, we way past what I would say traditional baby millionaire. But if I were just to look at my like hardcore, like cash assets, no, like I am, you know, like I'm a millionaire in these other assets, but I'm also a millionaire in bank account, you know? And so I just say that as to almost like to not be offensive. Like, oh, you know, I'm just a baby millionaire. It's like, no, sis, it's okay. It's okay to say that your net worth is, you know, quite honestly, 8 figures, probably if you were to add in your businesses, but, you know, high, mid sevens, if you weren't to add in your businesses, say it, Tiffany. And I'm like, it sounds, because it just doesn't sound real. I'm wearing a Target sweatshirt that says blessed.
Well, the thing is like, and having been someone, I mean, like people love the headline and I, you know, of how much you're worth or how much you saved. And it's almost like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter the number. For me, it doesn't matter. And people get really caught up in the amount. And there's lots of internet bros who like to say, well, that's not very impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have done that. Especially to me, I could have done that if I just bought, you know, I do that overnight with my crypto. Or, you know, you could have done that if you bought 5 properties 10 years ago. There are people who want to diminish the number. But F the number. Like, I really don't. Tiffany, to me, the reason why I think you're wonderful and like why I continue to learn a lot from you or why I want to come to you. It's not the number associated with your net worth. It's nice to know that you're successful, mm-hmm. but it's like the steps that you took. People get mm-hmm. so caught up in that number. And I really yeah. feel like that shouldn't be what you're focused on, is some kind of magical number. I've never been focused on a magical number. It's more mm-hmm. strategies and building a business model that will, you know, sustain yourself and grow, mm-hmm. you know, how like these strategic things that you can do. And I wish people focus more on that and not mm-hmm. just on like, it's all subjective.
Yeah.
One person's 1 million, another person's 10,000.
Exactly. Yep. You know? No, literally. Like, it's, you know, I have a friend of mine whose business makes $50 million a year. And you're just like, oh, okay. And, you know, I remember when I hit my first six figures, I was like, you couldn't tell me that wasn't 50 million. Cause that's what it felt like in comparison yeah. to where I was before. So to your point, yes. Well, especially once you get past a certain amount of money made, for me, it was really about providing security and safety for my family. And so I've been able to do that for a long time now, you know, relatively, you know, for the last, like, you know, like 4 or 5 years, I'm like, okay. And then when I was able to pay off my parents' house, that kind of like marked a like, oh, now we're good, good. Because mm-hmm. barring anything crazy, you know, we should be able to handle it. That's always been a worry for me. Like, if something comes up, will we be okay as a family? And knowing that my parents have a safe place to live, that they, you know, that they've got, you know, they don't have to worry about food, they don't have to worry about bills, knowing that we're fine here in my household, you know, that my sisters are good, the nieces and nephew are good. You know, once I got past that space, then it really, like, the extra didn't move me, because I was just like, mm-hmm. that's what it was for me. There's nothing wrong with, you know, living fancy, but that's never really been my vibe. It's like, okay, we're good. So now I've been really facing toward, like, what does leaving a legacy in philanthropy look like? You know, like, what does that look like? Did I ever tell you about Oralee Brown? Did we talk about that last episode? So, you know, maybe I'm going to save her for my Brown Boost, because she's amazing. Because okay. it's really like kind of like where I'm turning now that everyone is good that I know. That's where I want to turn my attention toward. So to your point, you're right. Sometimes I don't want to own it because I almost feel embarrassed by it, you know, because I'm like, oh, but I still want to sit at the table and just like, you know, have like, you know, I still want to sit at the table and wear my Target's best and you know,
what you can do.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah. will I not be invited to like regular functions? You know what I mean? Not like, you know, theoretically. So that's why I'm just like, maybe that's why
you're
I stay
still invited
that,
to the cookout.
Yes, I want to go invite you to cook it, and I am going to
bring. It might be P. Diddy's cookout, but it'll be.
I want to bring potato bread buns from ShopRite.
Okay. Oh. Well, I'm excited that you are leaning into that. You a millionaire.
Don't come for me, though, because my husband does not play that. So just for those of you.
Don't kidnap Tippity and hold a ransom. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. And I stay with it. I stay with a taser on me. What? The other day.
You do?
Yes. What? Well, honestly, I stay with the taser because my husband is crazy. And every time I go for a walk or go anywhere, he's always like, did you bring your taser? And if I don't, he'll send me a picture of it. It's like, I see it's here on the counter, but you're not here. I'm like, goodness. You know, and at first I thought he was crazy until I was going for my daily walk and this like loose dog ran up on me. And he was barking so aggressively and I was so scared and his owner was laughing. And I was like, oh, that's funny. So then I took out my taser. I did not tase the dog, but I took out my taser and I sparked it, like not in front of the dog, but like, you know, in the air to let his owners know, you won't be laughing very long.
Yo, his owner, wait a second.
Yes.
Is there footage of this? No. need to see Tiffany with the taser.
I felt like I had a gun where I busted in the air like, pop, pop. So the taser said, clack, clack. In the air, and I was like,
"See, that would look. That would have scared me. Like, oh shit, it's on."
Yeah,
like,
yo, the owner was like, then he called his dog back. I said, "Yeah, call mm-hmm. Fido back. Don't do that. I would hate to tase a dog, but I'm not gonna let this dog bite me because I thought that was so yeah. terrible. I'm like, we're laughing that your dog is aggressively yeah. running up to people and barking. And for lawsuit, all I know, baby. The dog was just wanting to play. You know, but yeah. you know, I was just like, you're doing a lot. So yeah, when he saw my taser, I said, it's not so funny now. He just looked at me. I said, So yeah, so now I was like, oh, let me carry my taser just in case. Okay.
Well, I'm glad that you take your protection with you. Don't tip you strapped, y'all. Don't run up on her at Newark trying to give her a hug.
Right, me and my pink tasers.
I'm sorry to laugh, but that is too funny. Miss, I don't like conflict. I
know. Don't start. No, no, won't be none. No, you know.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we will be right back with actual Boost and Break. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brand Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now it's time for Booster Break. Oh, Booster Break. Oh, Booster Break. Booster Break. So, we are going to boost. We are going to break. Which one, Mandy, are you going to take? Oh, we are going to boost. We are going to break. Which one, Mandy, are you going to take?
Hashtag free Britney. It's Britney, bitch. I am so excited for Britney. I know. She has her daddy, her toxic daddy, Jamie Spears, has been removed as her conservator.
Suspended.
Suspended.
Yeah.
So the conservatorship still stands, but Britney finally spoke out this past June in the speech that was heard around the world. Mm-hmm. I encourage y'all to look it up on YouTube. It's like 18 minutes of glorious caffeinated Britney. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time we heard her voice, and it's insane to me that we all just turned a blind eye and just, and I'm included too, accepted the fact that this woman's touring and she's on different TV shows and she can't handle her money, so daddy should still be in charge of that. Like, it says something about our society. So I am really happy for her, and especially her fans who have been fighting to free Britney for all this time. That she is
way
one
to go
step
out for your fave. I mean, we were all just out here, but those fans were on it. Like, yo, they've been talking about it for the longest. They're like,
they've been getting law degrees because of it,
girl. Because you're right. Here's the thing: even if Britney's not the best with her money, hello, join the effing club.
Like, exactly.
Like, so
let
she
her make a couple of bad purchases.
Exactly. Like that. That's the thing. Like, even if she does that, like, to me, it only makes sense if you are in danger. You know what I mean? Meaning, like before, when they really thought, like, okay, you know, she is in physical danger of maybe harming herself. But like saying like, she might blow some of it. Okay. Yeah. Everybody, you have the wherewithal as an adult. If you want to blow your money, okay, so we're not here to stop you. That's your business, as Miss Tabitha Brown would say.
I'm just thinking of like Johnny Depp, who was constantly going broke and spending millions and having to do another Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And didn't nobody try to put him in a conservatorship?
Girl, Toni Braxton. You know what I mean? How many times did she go bankrupt? No shade, Toni. I think you're
not beautiful. Toni.
Yeah, Toni Braxton went bankrupt a couple of times.
Oh, dang. Well, those tools are there for a reason, bankruptcy and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't wish her any ill will. I think what breaks my heart the most is when I haven't watched the most recent documentary, but I watched the one on Hulu from over the summer that came out, and it talked about, it kind of gave more context around how they got her to sign over her legal rights to her fortune. And they basically made her feel like she wasn't going to be able to see her sons if she wasn't in a conservatorship. And that shit pissed me off. Because how dare you? Can't you see in such an emotionally fragile state how she would have been like, I'll do anything. Don't take anything. Away my boys. Yeah. Anything. And that anything has now resulted in like not having any agency or control over her life or her business.
To the point where they literally put her on birth control, your own body. Yeah.
They wouldn't let her take out her IUD. Yeah.
Yep.
Get engaged.
Won't let me have a baby. Like, all of this stuff is just egregious. But so to your point, yay, Brittany. Yeah. We're so glad that, you know, you are on the road to freedom.
Yay, Brittany. And to any woman out there who, and there's plenty of women who are under the thumb of whether it's a parent or a partner or whoever, a job, a boss, they will have you. Like, and it, and you can be a strong woman in all other respects, but it is possible even for the strongest of women to be slowly but surely broken down to the point where they think that they cannot take care of themselves and that they need, you know, someone else. And it takes so much time. And women in my life have had to unlearn that type of, you know, unlearn that lie to recover their own agency and their own power. And I think that that's what we're doing. So I wish Brittany all the success in the world. And for any other women, I hope that lots of women are inspired by her story and her standing and her truth.
Yes. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, girl. Well, I'm going to boost. This is a throwback to 10-year-old Tiffany. So when I was 10, I vaguely remember that a teacher brought in some article about another teacher who was paying for the college tuition of some kids, like a classroom of kids. And I remember then saying, I want to do that one day. I want to be her, this teacher, right? And so, so many years passed. You know, you remember things when you're little and you're like, is that real? Did I imagine that? Did I make that up in my head? And so for the longest time, I was Googling for this woman, but I could not find her. So I'd convinced myself that maybe I made it up and maybe, you know, maybe it was a story because it was literally 30 years ago. So I was talking to a friend of mine, Catherine, who's the CEO of the United Way in Newark. And I was telling her how, like, you know, when I was little, you know, I remember the story about this teacher that had, you know, paid for college for this classroom of students, of Black students in a really terrible neighborhood in Oakland. And she was like, oh, yeah, Oralee Brown. I'm like, wait, what? I was like, Catherine, shut up. That's not her name. She's like, so you have no idea. If you ask me what I want to be when I grow up, I want to be Oralee Brown. She is still an educator.
Is she? She's not even in Jersey. She's in California?
Yes. So there's a book about her. I cannot wait to read this book. There's a book about her called The Promise, how one woman made good on her extraordinary pact to send a classroom of first graders to college. Can you imagine? Miss Oralee Brown, because let me not be disrespectful because she's a grown woman. Yes. Miss Oralee Brown was making $45,000 a year at the time. And she set aside $10,000 of her own money to make this happen. She is goals on goals on goals. This happened in 1987. That's when she adopted a first grade class and promised that if they stayed in school and got admitted to college, she would pay for their college education. Not only did she keep her promise to that first class of students, to date, she has sent 136 students from low income families. They've received mentoring, tutoring, financial support from the Oralee Brown Foundation for College. First of all, I know where I'm donating money. That's one.
How does she do that on a school teacher's salary?
Honestly, I have not read the book, The Promise, yet, but I think $10,000.
I mean, in the '80s, that might could have got you a couple of college educations.
Mm-hmm. $10,000 a year is what she was setting aside.
A year. Wow. Okay.
No, because they were in first grade, so you figure for 12 years, she set aside $10,000 a year, and issued scholarships. So I just. She's a real life superhero. I just don't know why. Why is there not a movie about her? Yeah. Like I started a nonprofit, but I could not figure out the focus. I started it a couple years ago, but I was like, what is the Live Richer Foundation going to actually do? And, you know, just most recently I remembered her. I didn't remember her name, obviously, but I said, I want to do that I want to create a foundation where, you know, I raise money and, you know, I am able to not just send kids to school, but whatever post high school looks like. So maybe you want to go to trade school. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you want to go to college, whatever that lump sum of funding will be set aside for you. I said, I want to adopt a preschool or kindergarten classroom in Newark and start there and then adopt as many classrooms in low income neighborhoods as possible over the next, hopefully 40 years of my life. That was one of my goals, but it was spawned in part because of her, in part because of Miss Oralee. I am a teacher, in part because of Miss Oralee. Philanthropy has always been a part of like my mission, and to like see that she's still here. So I'm totally like going to email her today with shaking hands, like, Miss Oralee, I just want to say, I know.
Aw.
Yeah.
I was just looking up. She was like, there's a Glamour article on here from last year.
Oh.
Where, yeah, she was honored in 2002 as one of the women of the year. And they just did like an updated article. Look,
she looks. And like then if you go to her website, Oral, so like, you know, Oral the toothbrush, like your mouth, O-R-A-L, Lee, L-E-E, Brown. So OralLeeBrownFoundation.org. You can see all these beautiful babies that she has helped. One, you see the pictures. Two, you get to see the videos. There's this awesome video that I watched of her that the news had did where this young man was like, I call her mama. Like, I still come back for advice. She still guides me. So I just say all this to say that you think people are not listening and watching, that this woman, you know, not only did she change the lives of those children that she made the pact and the promise to and helped, she changed my life as well. I was 10 years old and moved by her story and kept it with me for 30 years until I'm now in a position to extend her legacy and to continue the work that she started. And so I'm just grateful for that.
That is beautiful. That's a name that we should all know. Oralee.
Yes. Oralee Brown.
That's beautiful. And I did read. I wonder if she like did it through investing, but also donations.
Yep. I'm curious too. I'm so excited to see.
Was she the inspiration for that really cringeworthy episode of The Office where Michael Scott, do you not watch The Office? You don't watch The Office, do you? Oh, Tiff. No. Anyway, there's a real, he's a terrible manager, mediocre white man. It, you know, if that was in the definition, it'd be Michael Scott's picture. Anyway, he adopts a class. It's a really cringy episode. I don't know that it holds up very well from a decade ago when it first aired, but he adopts a class of black students at a high school, and he calls them Scott's Tots, and he promises them when they're first graders to pay for their college education. And then he shows up later, their senior year, and he's reminded of his promise, and they put on a performance for him. They make up a song, a rap song to his, you know, donation, and he has to tell them, my bad, I did not actually do what I said I was going to do. So shout out to Oralee. Once again, a black woman proving it can be done.
Girl, well, she is just like if you, I love to see what I love to, because here's what happens when, why the, so this type of work is so important is that if you've ever like grown up or spent an extended amount of time in economically depressed environments, there is a sheen of sadness, dismay, and lack of belief that there's more than this. You might see it on TikTok, on social media, whatever, but in your neighborhood, you don't see it. And so what do you reach for? And so parents will literally raise their children differently if there is a guaranteed at the end of the road. Like my husband was telling me, because he grew up in Newark his whole life, like, you know, projects, all of that. And he said that he can remember as a kid that if there were kids who showed an acumen, especially in sports, they would send them home. So let's just say you were really good at basketball, middle school, especially high school, and you're on the team and you're trying to hang out on the block like the block boys and do what block boys do. They would literally say, nah, man, you got to go home. You got to win the game tomorrow. So when there is a specified future set aside for you, the community responds differently. And they say, no, there's a future set aside for you. You can't be out here with us. And so I wonder, how can you do that for these kids where it's not sports? It's not anything. It's other than there is a future set aside for your child. So
you just Ms. exist Johnson, and you deserve a future.
Yep, exactly.
You shouldn't have to have a talent.
Exactly. So Ms. Johnson, unquote, be mindful, like the way you raise your son, no matter what, know that he has it. Just help us to get him there. And so for me, what I want my foundation to do, and I'm curious to, I can't wait to connect with her, is what I want to do is figure out between that kindergarten and 12th grade, what resources does that student need? Like what social work resources, housing resources, food resources, tutoring, what does that look like? Because what's so great is through that one child, you can really help affect the family. You know, because there might be more than one child in that family, but they all get to benefit from knowing that these resources exist and having access to these resources. So for me, I really want to make sure that we give the family the tools they need to make sure and ensure that their child makes it to 12th grade. Like, I'm so like, I mean, overcome with like how amazing she is. I think it was like 23 students in that first grade class, 19 went to college. Like, that's insane. You know what I mean? 19 went to college as a result. That's crazy. Yeah. So go ahead to her. If you, you know, if you need some inspiration, go ahead to OralLeeBrownFoundation.org. You can look literally, see if you hover over the students button, you can see students from like 1987, 99, 2012. You get to literally see students from, she's up to phase seven from each of her phases of when she set aside money for them. And to see how, like, you know, these students and what they're doing now, it's just really amazing to see. And you can see the original picture of her with all these black babies. It just warms my heart because I have pictures like this surrounded by black babies as well, where they're all just like, you know, smiling and not realizing just what an amazing future that, you know, that awaits them. So, yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that I do, maybe people think I'm creepy, and maybe it's just because I'm a mom now, but I look, when I pass my school, the school bus stop in my neighborhood, I try and roll the window down and talk to all the kids and learn, know their names. I just feel like not enough people look into the faces of black and brown children and just make them feel special and heard. And it's not unless you have a talent, if you're a singer or you're athletic, like you were saying, where you get that extra attention and like get the sense from society that you are special or valued. And even in small ways, I feel like if you can do that for other kids, and obviously Tiff, you've been doing it since you were a preschool teacher, but I think that's such a amazing story, and the fact that it's a woman of color, like a black woman from that area who's doing it, that is, you just don't hear enough stories like that. So thank you. I will never forget her name.
Oralee Brown
makes me proud to be an Amanda Lee.
I know, I was gonna say that sounds very southern.
It is. Amanda Lee. All right, y'all. Well, until next week, we will bid you adieu. Stay tuned. It's officially October. It's officially pumpkin spice season and also Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. And in all seriousness, we have a very special guest coming up this month that you're going to hear from. And I got the chance to talk to a wonderful woman earlier this week named Marina Franklin. She's a comedian and an actress and a writer and all those things. And she's going to open up about her story. And we're going to be reminding you, finger wagging, including you, Tiffany, to go and get those breast exams, okay?
Yeah. No, it's true. I have to thank you for reminding me, because actually, now that I'm 40, like, I've never gotten a mammogram before, and now it's time, and they keep, like, pinging me. So thank you for, I'm going to make myself a little sticky. Go get my mammogram. A little sticky. Go get my tatas checked.
Take care of those top dogs. There is no way for me to say that wasn't creepy. We should go now. Bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.